Hey, welcome everybody. This is Scott
and Shauna,
and we have a great call today. I want to just welcome you to the call and thank you for taking the time. If you're here listening live, that it does show that you're a leader and these things really do matter in your business. So tonight we're going to talk about follow-up and follow-through. Last week was essentials and essential conversations. And if you haven't listened to that, then go back and listen to that recording. And just a little bit of housekeeping. All you have to do is to go back and click the link where I posted the seminar. So you can just click the link, and then you can listen to the recording on the replay there. So, again, tonight we've got our amazing host. She's our Oprah, the one and only Carrie Wilkerson. And, Carrie, are you on the call?
I'm here. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Carrie. We're excited.
Hey.
This is our night to pretend like we're at Starbucks having coffee with Carrie and all of you that are muted, because you're on mute. We still know that you're here having coffee with us, and we just want to share some points. And so we're really excited about this follow-up and follow-through, because we realize that is really the meat of this business.
Love it. And so why don't we just dive in? Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Great. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about essentials. We talked about essential products to share, essential conversations, and we talked about essential follow-up. And we got a lot of feedback that people wanted more on the follow-up. And even Scott and Shauna and I talked about it and said, we want to talk about follow-up as far as scripts and follow-up as far as overcoming objections and how do we follow up and not be that guy or that girl that people are avoiding your calls or that you feel like people are avoiding your calls. So that's why tonight we just kind of brought that topic back, but we're drilling down. So Dr. Scott, I know that drilling is not always a pleasant thing with the dentist in the house, but I think sometimes to get to the core of what we're talking about, we can't always just leave it at the surface. I firmly believe that a lot of people, no matter what business they're in, have a fear of follow-up because they fear the no. They fear the no, or they fear the reputation, or they fear they fear some kind of pushback that they're afraid they're going to get. So that's where tonight's call comes from. Again, I'm Carrie Wilkerson, the Barefoot Executive. I work with home-based business owners like you guys, whether you're part-time or full-time, and I am just the question asker. I'm the Oprah, so that you guys that can't ask questions, I can say, well, Scott and Shauna, what about this and what about that, and have we considered this? So I'm your advocate while we're on these calls. So guys, let's just talk about how do we not be a nag? How do we schedule our follow-up? What are some tips for that? And, Scott, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how do we know how to follow up and which technology to use and how often to follow up. So we have this fear of bugging people, Scott and Shauna. We just have this innate fear. I think if we had the cure to cancer, we wouldn't have this fear. I think when we're excited about a diaper or a movie, my friends are having no trouble sharing a really popular movie all over the place right now. But I think when it comes to something that could possibly benefit us, we have this fear. So when is enough follow-up? How do we not bug people? What are some of your best tips on this, y'all?
Well, the first thing that I like to think about when I think about follow-up is kind of the framework that the dream for why I'm doing the network marketing business is bigger than any objection I'm about to receive. Mm-hmm. And so I don't really have an emotional attachment to the outcome. I know, like you said, Carrie, go get some no's before noon.
Yep.
It's really okay. I mean, I know that the ratio is somewhere between 2 and 3 people will say yes out of 10 calls, and I know that. And so I don't have an emotional attachment to it. And I do keep the belief that in the framework that I do have something better. I believe that I have something better and something that is of value to people. And so, therefore, I keep the dream for why I'm doing this bigger than any objection. So that makes it a lot easier to go into the conversation. It becomes an offer. It's almost like here here's a cookie, and if they say no, that's okay. I'm not going to go crying over in the corner and you know, get all depressed about somebody saying no to me. So, Shauna?
Yeah, I like that. And also, when, as far as what to say that makes me feel more comfortable so that I get less no's or objections that come up, no matter what the objection is, my favorite thing to think about is I use the feel, felt, and sound. I know how you feel. You know, that happened to me, like if they have the objection of the cost. And when I know that our products are going to save them money, actually, they're going to save money at the grocery store. I mean, they're so well priced for the for what's in it. I realize that. But you don't always have more than a minute to say to get them interested or to get them to overcome their objection. So I just quickly say, you know, I know how you feel because I felt the same way. When I was first introduced to this, I thought, you know, I didn't even have enough room on my own credit card to buy the product. That's the situation I was in. But what I found out was, actually, when I compared the cost, I was saving money. Or if they're talking about the business itself, you know, I felt that, you know, I do the feel, felt, sound. And what I found out was I really was in a situation. I didn't even have room on my credit card to do this, you know, to buy the product. I realized it was time for a change. And any objection can be used by using your own story. And really, you're not just making it up. It's what really did happen to you. It's your personal story. But those three words have helped me so much when I'm on the spot and don't quite know what to say so that we can go to the next level, which is follow up.
Yeah, and what I love about feel, felt, found, and I know some people will debunk that or some people will go, oh, but that's been used for so long. Well, the reason is because sometimes when we're inside of our own business, we see what we think are the benefits or we see what we think is great or we see our dream. And really, now this goes back to so many of the calls that we've done, Shauna, where you talk about listening, 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 listening. Feel, felt, found makes you listen. It makes you listen. It makes you have to process it and then empathize with it. And so I think that's so important. Okay, so when do we follow up? When do we give them a sample? When do we follow up? Or is there something we say to them? Let me lead you into this. Is there something we say to them as we hand them the ISA, the light, that opens the door or gives us permission to follow up? How would you go through that?
I believe that first of all, any time that we're going to follow up, we should always ask for permission to follow up. When we hand somebody a product, it's say, would it be okay if I follow up with you in a day or next week? Just depending on what it is that you're trying to accomplish. If they've said no to you, I mean, my thinking is, you know, if they've said no, that they just said no, not now. And we did talk a little bit about the No Not Now book. You know, if somebody says no, not now, we could just say, would it be okay if I follow up with you in the next 2 or 3 months to just see how you're doing and let you know how things are going here with us. So, but if it's a product, you know, would it be okay if I contact you tomorrow? Would it be okay if I texted you? Which would be a preference? And find out what their preference is, Shauna?
And even if it was something as simple as being prepared with a few products in a bag. For the guys, it's a little more difficult. We always have our bags with us. But, you know, a few of those ISA delights are wonderful because I like to tell them, you know, within 10 minutes, you're definitely going to see a difference. Some people are one chocolate person, some need two. But it really will change your mood. It has amino acids in it. And I'm hoping to be here in 10 minutes so you can tell me if you're still hungry. So it's great to have it a half an hour before you're going to eat lunch. You're just going to feel in the mood to have about a lot less. It's not a chocolate that you're going to crave to just eat more and more. Even though it's delicious, it has a purpose. So just tell them a little bit about the benefit of it and then try to get their opinion in 10 minutes if you're still with them, if you're on a plane or whatever. So I like to have those handy. I like to have the bars. And I'd love to follow up with you and see what you thought. You know, they really do, they get you through. If you can't get a shake or a full meal, these are a complete meal replacement. So just having those things on hand is something that you want to have. But then that gives you an excuse, a reason to follow up and see how they liked it. And you don't say, do you like it? Or you just say, what did you like best? You know, and just keeping on a positive note. And usually they're loving the product. I mean, they taste great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
you guys know I'm hooked on those chocolate things. I hand them out to other people. You know, I just love them. And I even say, you know, I sound like one of you guys, because I'll even say, you know, the dark chocolate are my favorite, but if you're more into the light chocolate or a caramely taste, you know, you'll probably prefer the milk chocolate. So anyway, I love that. But Scott, you said something key, and I want to go back to that because I want everybody to write this down in their notes. You said get permission to follow up with them and how they prefer to be followed up with. So you're not saying to them, hey, I'm going to text you tomorrow, because, you know, we all have a default we like. So I'm a heavy texter. I really am. I don't even know that if my phone rings or not, because I rarely ever talk on it. I really am a heavy texter. So I would prefer texting. I also like email. I'm a really fast typer. And so I'm proactive that way. However, we don't always get to do what we love to do. We need to look at what the prospect prefers. And whatever they tell you, make sure you make a note of it in your follow-up notes or on the back of a business card or on your calendar. That's my preference, is to pencil it on your calendar so that you have an appointment to follow up. I'm going to text you in 2 days and find out, you know, how your hunger is or however that is. But make sure you make note of how they say it, because some people are not texters. Some people are not phone people. And if Scott says to me, I'm going to call you in a couple of days, I'm going to say, oh, please don't. I'm really not a phone person. I'm not a phone person. And really, with my busy life, it's just crazy. I really prefer that you text or email me. And guess what? If he forgets and calls me, I'm turned off. And then I become an avoider. So just make sure you get permission to let them know what to expect. Keep your promise. If you say you're going to follow up. I can't tell you the number of people that have said, I would love to use network marketing reps, and I would love to use product from direct sales reps, but I can't get people that follow through or follow up with me. And that's just not, that doesn't make it a profession, right? So make sure you keep your word. So those are a couple of things I think are super important. All right.
Okay.
So go ahead,
Shauna.
And
also, Scott, one of the things I really appreciate about Scott, he's taught me this, is to put it in your phone and let your phone have a little alarm to tell you. And then you can have a little details that you put in there. So the method of follow-up could be in there, and the alarm for the day that you're going to follow up. He does that all the time. So he has a lot of alarms going off, but it's really helpful to not let everybody slip through the cracks. And really, the people on this call are looking at this as a profession. So, you know, we've all heard that in whatever our businesses have been before, but sometimes people that come into network marketing come in just because best friends shared something wonderful and they got on a product and fell in love. They didn't know at the beginning that it was going to turn into another a profession for them. So just apply those rules that you've learned before, and know that this, because it is a relationship business, it's even more important, because you're going to get to work with the people who really get to know you, and it just makes it so much more smooth because they trust you when you follow up.
And I think it's vitally important to put personal notes on the mm-hmm. person that you just had the conversation with. If they told mm-hmm. you about the two kids that they had, and or they, you know, they play a specific sport, or what they do for recreation, or what they do for their work, or any kind of information that really kind of connects you with them. I did that in my practice as well in dentistry, on the personal record of every single patient I had. Every time we had a conversation, something new would come up. I would put it in the personal notes, and then when they came back in, it's just another way to deepen that relationship, which is critical.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay, let's talk about this, and we talked about putting it on the calendar. I like to do a lot of my follow-up at the same time. We talked about this in another call. I like follow-up Friday, but some people might be overwhelmed with that. Some people, you know, it just might not fit their schedule. I do love, Shauna, what you said. Follow up with them while you're there, if that suits, or the same day to see how they're feeling. Or you schedule on your calendar so you do a little bit every day so it doesn't become so fearful. Just make sure to schedule it and get it done. When you let it back up, what happens? When you have 30 people to follow up with, Shauna, what happens?
Well, you can get overwhelmed, and then the guilt sets in if you didn't do it at the right time, which has happened to me so often. So, yeah, you know, you sort of have to ask yourself to forgive yourself and do better the next time. But I think one of the things that I have really liked, I agree with you, is the text has helped me so much because we do get overwhelmed. Our phone is busy a lot and it runs out of, you know, I mean, you're constantly trying to recharge your phone because as you go full time, it can be a very busy time. So I love texting because, especially with the cleansing, helping people cleanse, to just do some simple little thing on their first days, you know, when it's so important, if they feel a little bit lost because they didn't read the directions right, or if you just text and say, make sure you drink your water, that really doesn't take but a minute, especially, you know, as much as we text. It's just a quick reminder that they know that you're on, that they are on your mind. Simple. Don't forget your snacks. They're not an option. Something simple like that and touching them three or four times during their first 2 to 3 days makes a big difference in the results.
I love that. I think that's, and it also shows them that you're in for relationship, not just the sale, not just the recruit. Okay, now this is a mind game question. How do we force ourselves to follow up even when we're fearful? Like the phone looks like it weighs 500 pounds, or we fear that the business cards have gotten too old, or we're afraid they're going to say no. How do we? What mind games do you guys play with yourself to make your, what have you heard that works?
Well, I have something that I use to help me remember why I'm doing this in the first place. It isn't always easy to follow up, and especially if you're talking to somebody that's a little bit out of your comfort zone, maybe somebody that is, you know, a big deal to you. And I know, I mean, but we don't grow in our comfort zone.
Right.
So I like to just think and remind myself why. Why am I doing this? And I know that I like to think, you know, they're not going to pay for the kids' college. They're, you know, these people, if they say no to me, it's not the end of the world. I'm going to get up and go again. But my why is a big deal. And so just recently I found a little thing that I put in my pocket. It reminds me of my why. It's a little duck. It's my little, like a little lucky duck. And I want to give one to all of the people in my team because it is just a cute little reminder. Why am I doing this? It's a, you know, that is what gets me through any of the things that I really don't want to do. And it is about integrity. It's about keeping your word. So, you know, we've all failed at this job, at follow-up, you know, but it's integrity. It's something that we want. It's our who we really are becoming. So if we haven't been great at follow-up, and then it's something we can work on. And it really is about them, not about us. So if they're going to tell us no, get over that fear. But one more thing I wanted to add to that, I don't know if that's where you were going with that, Carrie, is that my favorite thing to remember in this business, one of the things that helped me to even be brave enough to do this when I didn't understand it, is I heard someone say, make your strengths productive and your weaknesses irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
If I would have waited until I became super good at follow-up to start my business, I just wouldn't be here today. I would not be here 18 years later from the very first time I heard about network marketing still doing it. I just wouldn't. I would have said, I'm not that good. I can't do all of that and hold a full-time business that I was already running. So follow-up is something that I strive to do better all the time, but it is not my strength. So I think it's important, again, just like in any other part of the business, if you're really lousy at something, don't wait until you're just perfect at it and you've got to do it all and then you're going to hate your job or hate your business. It's a team effort. So why don't you team up with someone who's if you're really good at follow-up? In a business like this, with our compensation plan, you can team up with a person that's a really great recruiter. Like, recruiting is better for me. That's easier for me to do. And it's more in my comfort zone because it's conversations. And I love conversations. I love to hear about people, learn about them, ask them questions. It gets me excited to understand who they are. And it reminds me of when I was in the salon. You know, you just get to know people. You find out what they want, what they don't want. But the follow-up, maybe it was because in the salon, I didn't really have to call them up and say, come on back in to get your hair done. They called me. And so it's a little different in this business. It can be different. So the beauty of this business is I've been able to build a team. And Scott and I have teamed up now, and it's way more fun than it used to be, knowing that Scott's strengths are different than mine. And I so appreciate his detail to some of the things like the percentage of the sales are made on the first contact. I mean, he has all this stuff in his mind, and I'm just thinking, you know, who can I talk to next? Like, so together we do better than alone. And I want everybody to realize that you're not alone in this business. Look in your downline and at the other people that you're really looking to bring into your life. Bring in people who will be good at something you're not.
Also, Carrie, one of the things that I like that keeps me going in following up with people is that I know that only 2% of the sales are made on the first contact, and I know
mm-hmm.
that. And if I know, I don't like being a 2%er. I like being a 2%er in some instances, but I don't like closing 2% of the people that I contact. So, and I know that if you have a second contact, that you're only going to make a sale in 3% of the time, and by the fourth contact, you'll only close 10%. And I do know this, that 80% of the sales and conversions are made between the fifth and the 12th contact. So I try to get to 5 in every way, shape, or form that I can. And it might be in social media. It might be a touch with an email. It might be just a text. And if somebody says, look, if they say, look, go away, well, then I'll go in and I'll ask them if it's okay if I follow up in the next 3 to 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty relentless like that. And so because I know that, again, my why, like Shauna said, is bigger than any emotional attachment that I might have to, you know, an objection.
Yeah, and just being respectful of the way we do it, you know, like so many of the people in the beginning when I first started with this company, I didn't have a check. There were no big checks to be had. We were just brand new and the business had just started. And so if people say, you know, it's one of those things they do say in network marketing, they'll ask you, you know, but the thing is, I knew that I had to create that story quickly so that I could follow up with them later. And so I would have to say, would it be okay if they were truly not interested? If I share with you in 2 months how I'm doing, would that be okay? And usually they'll say yes. And they're sometimes surprised that, you know, that you're still there when you do follow up.
Mm-hmm.
Or in 6 months. And in some cases, like, for instance, one of my very top leaders in the business, Joni Brewer, I had to wait until I had a significant income to really attract her because she'd been in network marketing before. She didn't want to get into something that – so I had to prove that I could do that. Now, you don't have to do that with everybody, and it took – I don't really remember how many follow-ups, but I had to be sensitive to, you know, and really listen to if she really wanted to know. But finally, after a while, I realized that what she really needed was the assurance that I was really – on this and I was making significant income. And that took me, by the time her timing was right, 21 months. And then after that, I mean, it was so worth it because I knew what I knew the first day when I told her, but I didn't have what it took for her to hear me the first time. So
right.
I don't give up. You don't know where they are, what it is they need. Is it the product? Is it the business? It's all of those things. And as time goes by, if you're following up, you're going to figure out what they need.
Yeah, and sometimes they just need you to remove the risk for them. They need to see somebody else walk the path, right? Some of us are pioneers and some of us are settlers, and some of us like the other people to take the arrows in the chest. So she just needed to see you have some time-tested success. Now, some of us are of the wiring. Scott and I are wired very much the same, and we would say, man, I wish I'd gotten in 21 months ago. Look how much further down the road I'd be, right, Scott?
Yep.
But then there are other people that say, oh, wow, I'm so honored and privileged to work with a leader like Shauna that's been down this road already so that I can then make fast progress.
Yep.
But 21 months of follow-up is unreal. I love it.
Yeah, and you know what? Just what if I would not have called her on that last time? By then, she knew enough to know that it was a real business, that I was definitely making money. Someone else would have been that person that called and said, and she would have said yes to. And I, you know, it's very likely that that could have happened eventually. Maybe not then, because it does have to do with the relationship, but it definitely would have happened eventually had I been afraid to be told by a very good friend no one more time. You know,
right.
It was hard to take notes. It's hard sometimes to take notes from the people we love
because we think, what is it that they don't get? Don't they trust us? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that goes in our heads to make us not want to pick up that phone again. But I had to get real with myself and say, I do not want to leave her behind. I love her. I can't go on this ride alone. And that's what happens when you really know that you're in a business that touches you so much that you have to share it with your friends. And guess what? You can't share it with all of them the same way. If they say back off a little bit,
yeah,
and come in a different direction and do it in a very, as long as you're coming to that person with love and knowing that that you really do have something that you really believe that they need to know about. I had to really do some soul searching on that one. I will tell you, lots of times when I would call, I think, maybe it's the way I did it. Maybe I need to just come a different direction. And so, you know, but never ever thinking that I would give up, because truly it was that I loved her enough to not leave her behind. Now, what she probably heard was I wanted her to just do my business. And
right,
that's probably why it took her time to join. And so, you know, we all learn as every single time we follow up and we go, okay, then we can even call our business partners and say, you know what, I said this. How do you think that sound? How could I do different? And start to really test things out. Maybe I could, you know, someone else, getting someone else to hear how you did it and getting on the calls and learning how to do it better is a good thing. That's why these calls and other things that we want to share with you tonight are so important, that we listen to tapes, listen to how other people do it. It's so important.
And it's their timing. It's not ours. And so timing and circumstances change for everybody.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so if we follow up, we may hit them at the right time when the circumstance is perfect. And so we never know when that is. And we've had stories of people that, you know, we didn't follow up with, and all of a sudden you find them in the business. I was one of them.
Yeah, Scott was, and I'm so.
Yeah, so tell me that story. Yeah, because there is nothing more painful than finding out that someone you either didn't approach or didn't follow up with or were too chicken to call. You guys, I've told you my story about this at other times, but tell me about one of those sad stories, because there is nothing quite so painful or jolting as that.
Right. I had that happen where someone came into a meeting that I was in that they'd been on my list for several months, and I was just, I guess I was too afraid at the time. It was the first, many years ago, in the first company I was in, and I was afraid that I didn't have what it took, a check big enough to attract this person, and then they walked in as a new person and wanted to know why I didn't tell them. And so that was hard for me to take, because it was a good lesson. It was a lesson that I won't forget.
Well, yeah, and Scott, tell us about you.
So there was another circumstance, and I'll just say that, you know, I have met Robert and Joy Arthur at a networking function. It was a marketing function, and it was, oh gosh, probably a year and a half to 2 years before I'd met Shauna. And they introduced me to the product, and it wasn't my time. I mean, it just, the timing wasn't right. I was in the middle of my building my marketing company, and it just wasn't the right time for me. And it's not that he didn't follow up. He was very, very good. They were very gracious. And they were good follow-up. They're professionals. I mean, they're really, really good in the business. And so it just wasn't my timing. And so, and then, you know, a year and a half later, or 2 years later, I walk into a meeting, and I turn around behind me, and there's Robert and Joy Arthur sitting behind me. And I went, I mean, I got this sinking feeling in my, I almost felt for him. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm here with Shauna, and she's my personal sponsor. And I said, I had this conversation with them, and they said, and they were so gracious, they were amazing. They just said, look, you found your home. I mean, and then of course, you know, we got married, and that's a wonderful story too. But
yeah,
anyway,
I had the edge there, but I didn't try to recruit him to help him under him. I didn't even know he knew about Isagenics. What happened was, he told me he was never going to do this business, but I kind of felt he would after he tried the product, and he did. So anyway, it's just, yeah, it's just a funny thing. We just don't want, we want to be brave in this. And we've had other situations where someone, a good person in our business, came in and she met someone at a booth, and she took their card and they said they would follow up. Well, they did not. But she was so interested in the anti-aging product, the product B, that she called this person back three times
And so then when I'm and she never got a call back.
She called the business owner. She called the person invested in the trade show and invested in the business cards, and she couldn't get a call back. That blows my mind.
Right. I just think maybe she was young and new in the business, because you don't ever know who it is. But you're right. After they invest in all that, and she happened to have a booth next to hers. So over a period of a couple of days, they got to know each other. And even then, who knows? I mean, maybe somebody died in her family. I don't know. But she didn't follow up. And she called her 3 times. And so when I met her, completely more about her own business, about the dresses that she had a booth for, we met them. And she told me, she asked me what I did, and I told her. And she said, how she had been wanting to know more about this product. And I said, well, who told you? Because out of respect for the person that told her, I would, you know, in some circumstances like that, I would say, you know, go to the person that told you about it. But this person, she says, I don't want to do business with her. She never called me back. Mm. So obviously we did. We were doing business. But it was really, you know, really sad. Another really quick thing, I want everybody to think about this. When you give out your, maybe you have a CD that you want to give out, make sure you always put a sticker on there and put your name and your follow-up information, email, and your telephone number, if that's how your form of follow-up is. But also put it on the inside, right on the CD. I know about a top leader that somebody gave a CD to and didn't put any information on it, and that person was not interested and gave it to someone else. She picked up the CD. It had nobody's information on it. She called the company, went to the top of the company, and she'll never know who that person was that did that. So it only takes one person, really, one or two people, that can drive your business right to the top. So always, always make sure it's sticking on the actual CD. I would hate for any of us to have that happen to us.
That just makes your stomach sink. Absolutely. You know, when you said a minute ago the woman wouldn't call her back, and so she didn't want to do business with her because she wouldn't follow up. I had a really similar situation many years ago, and the company that I was representing at that time, the protocol was everybody at the party or at the meetup or whatever. At the close, when you were talking about product, you would also say, well, you watched what I did tonight. Is this anything that you would consider doing for yourself? And then you would give them your materials. It's very common. Give them your materials and tell them when you were going to follow up. Well, there was one particular woman at this party that the hostess did not offer the opportunity to. She was the biggest buyer. She's the bubbliest, but she was the oldest and maybe the most intimidating. I don't know. She has kind of a D personality. She's really strong. And that woman the next day asked somebody she worked with, who do you know that does this company? Because I want to be a consultant. And she said, well, didn't you just go to a party last night? She said, yep, but she didn't offer it to me, and she offered it to everybody else there, so she couldn't pay me to work with her. She was so offended that person excluded her. And let me tell you, she was referred to me and became one of my top leaders super fast. I tried to refer her back to that other lady because, like you said, that's protocol. And she said, nope, I would rather work alone or do another company, because I felt like she was age biased against me and I'm not working with her. And I just thought, wow, you just can't prejudge, and you can't decide for people or decide not to call them back. You just never know. And it may not be that person. It may be their daughter or their daughter-in-law or their mother or their sister. But I love all these stories on follow-up, guys. Are you really hearing this, how you need to follow up? Now, Scott, let's circle back around a little bit. We talked a little bit about asking them how they want to follow up with us, but there's so many ways. There's text, there's email, there's mail, there's phone calls. Let's talk about some of those leads that you say, hey, can I follow up with you in a few months? Or, you know, I'm just going to let you know that everybody's life changes about every 4 or 5 months. I'd like permission just to stay in touch with you in kind of a non-pushy way. Is that okay with you? Let's talk a little bit about postcards or samples, or how are you following up with people, you know, that are a few months older? Do you call, do you pick up the phone and call them? What are some of the ways that you've seen work?
Well, also, you know, the company has the My Isagenix, which is an autoresponder, and you can put people in a nurture sequence. When somebody basically says, no, look, I'm not interested, and that's okay, we can use automated systems like MailChimp or AWeber or Infusionsoft or anything. But My Isagenix is the company's follow-up system, and that's a very good one. I don't want to get into a conversation about autoresponders and all that because it can be very confusing.
Right.
But it is a way to put people into a nurture campaign where some of this can happen automated. And so that's one way. I just put alerts in my calendar and I'll follow up with an email and I'll do a text and a phone call. I mean, I kind of hit all three because it's kind of like people consume stuff differently. Some people like audios and some people like reading and some people like watching videos. Well, I like trying to hit all three so that I have a higher likelihood of being able to reach them. Is that kind of what you're asking?
That is. And, you know, one thing I want to bring up, because I know Shauna has worked this business very traditionally and very what a lot of us would call old school, and that's how I love to do my business too. I am a big fan of the note card or the postcard. Shauna, do you find that you get results or good relationship when you jot off a little handwritten note?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Anything that people find that you've taken the time to be personal with them is always a good thing. And one of the things also I love that Scott does, or people that are really into Facebook, is helping them to see that this is not just a way to, you know, shout out that I'm in this business. I'm, you know, it's not. It's a relationship again. It's just a different avenue of follow-up. And so build the relationship. Don't just advertise your business because it will turn people off, and you have to be sensitive to that. So I want, you know, we will have one of our talks on that to give more
specifics.
Yeah, we will. On Facebook.
And, you know, yes, very much important. I like to use Facebook, though, as a information source. And what I mean by that is people are always posting about, you know, their kids started school or they had a baby or, you know, whatever big news is going on. If you kind of jot that in your little note file that you're keeping on your people that you're following, it makes a huge difference to them when you mention this stuff. I like to... Now, it needs to be people you know, because if you do some of these tips with people you don't really know, it's creepy and stalkerish. And let me give you an example.
Yeah.
I had someone in several of my peer social circles I had met a couple of times, and I saw that they had a baby, and there was the cutest picture of his little girl holding the new baby boy. And I downloaded the picture and put it on a postcard and sent them a note of congratulations with a Starbucks card saying this will come in handy for the sleep-deprived parents. It was $5, I think. And really no intention, just, hey, congratulations. You know, that's the kind of situation where a big baby gift would be inappropriate. But a Starbucks card is just like everybody nods and goes, yeah, we could use the caffeine, that kind of thing. Well, let me just tell you, he called me that week, and he was looking for a small business growth consultant, and the day that my postcard showed up in his mailbox, I had no idea, no idea. But that turned into a very lucrative contract for me because I noticed on Facebook an event that happened. He was kind of on my little watch list of people to stay in the visible circle of, and that turned into that. I have sent, you know, baby gifts for people. I've asked how their girls did at their cheerleading audition, you know, a few weeks later. That kind of stuff means the world to people. And if you use it for relationship builders instead of just pure business pitchers, it makes a vast difference. So don't always think, what can I be broadcasting on Facebook? Think, what are my prospects broadcasting on Facebook that helps me know more about them? And Shauna,
You're one of the best. You're one of the best I've ever seen at doing that, Carrie.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you. Well, this is something, you know, it relates directly back to something Shauna said last week, and that was stop trying to be so darn interesting and be interested instead.
I love it. I love it. You know, something I used to do, too, in my dental practice, and this is something we can use here, and I've just now thought of it, is like you said, using Facebook for information and being interested in your prospects –
and your customers is to also just, you know, if you find something in the newspaper that may relate to their business or something, get the article, print the article, stick it in a paper. You just stand out when you do something different like that. When you send a postcard or a letter to somebody, it's just different today. And
it really is. You know, used to we got bored with checking the mailbox and we would run to hope that we had an email. And now we're bored with our email and we run and we hope we get some mail. Let me tell you something I did last week. Now, this is nobody I get business from, but he's a mutual friend of ours, and that's David Fry. And he's a really neat guy, smart marketing guy, knows everybody in the small business space. And I just really respect him. And he's an adoptive dad, like I'm an adoptive mom. And anyway, I kind of keep tabs on his kids. And a few years ago, his son broke his leg or something, and I sent, you know, a get well thing to his son and called him by name. Well, he doesn't put his name in social media. I knew his name from a conversation, and I wrote it down in my notes, right? I don't necessarily remember. I just write things down. Well, that made a huge impression on him. Well, the other day, I commented on Facebook about my girls fussing about going to gymnastics lessons and how I kind of pushed through and made them go anyway and how glad they were. And David commented and said, yeah, I just had a similar conversation with my daughter, and I know her name is Alina, with my daughter about quitting piano, about how everybody I'd ever talked to regretted quitting piano when they were a kid. Well, so this is something I just automatically do. I remembered that with my daughter, when she wanted to quit piano, I thought, well, I think it's because of all that music they have her playing that she doesn't love. What kind of music does she love? And I ordered a Taylor Swift piano book, a Disney favorites piano book, and a top 20 piano book. And I left them sitting around the house. I didn't announce that I had them. I didn't present them to her. I just kind of left them laying around. She came home from high school. Well, what's this? Oh, that's just some piano music. Since you're quitting, you probably don't want to, you know, don't worry about that. Just leave that there. Sure enough, guess what? Runs to the piano and practicing. And it literally was that simple about her playing. So then I could casually say, well, after you play about 30 minutes of what you love, make sure you also do the practice of what you need to do. So when I saw that post from David the other day, I went to Amazon, and guess what? I ordered the Taylor Swift book because I know her age, the Taylor Swift book, the Disney book, and the top 20 book. And she called me on my cell phone. Miss Barefoot, this is Alina. I got my books today. Thank you so much. What a neat idea. You know, and I'll tell you what, David would literally call anybody for me, recommend me to anybody. He has shown up and spoken at every event I've ever had at no cost to me. He won't even let me pay for his gas. And it's because of relationship like that. He just texted me. Yeah. The reason I thought of that story, while we're on the phone right now, he just texted me a picture of Alina at the piano. And he texted me and said, she's playing out of one of the books you sent her. She's been playing an hour, and I didn't even have to tell her to practice.
That is so good. It is so true. That touch, that personal touch, that relationship, again, is part of following up and following through. That's for sure. It's awesome. You know what? That kind of reminds me. I have been listening again to one of my favorite all-time things since I've been in network marketing, and that's Jim Rohn's R-O-H-N, for those that don't know. Mm-hmm. YouTube him after the call, because he talks, it's called Building Your Network Marketing Business, and many of you have listened to this, but I think until you've listened to it at least 100 times, there's so much meat in there, and he's talking about, like, who you are. You're a mom, and so you do these things, like, just like you would with your kids, and I do, and a father. He talks about when we bring somebody into the business, whether it be the product or but mainly as far as a business partner that we're working with, it's like we're starting a new life, and we don't want to abandon them. So if we take care of them, just like a mom would take care of her new baby, and like a father would protect them, like if we're nourishing as a mother would nourish someone, he says, that would be like ideas, how to do this, different ideas, like a mother would give her kids. Like what that just meat that you just gave us, that it was, and nurturing them.
and protecting them. The protection would be like when you're brand new and you just set them out there to make their phone calls and hear no, 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 or people tell them they're crazy because of, you know, they don't, you know, are you doing this network marketing thing? People could actually just quit right then if we don't protect them and actually warn them that this is what they might get. So we don't want to just, you know, leave our brand new baby out there by not following up. And that just made me think of that, because sometimes we do. So it becomes an art. And the real thing is that we're building a bridge and we're helping them from where they are now into this beautiful business that can turn into time freedom. And that's what it's really all about, not just money, but really having a life. And so we can turn a skeptic into somebody that has faith, and somebody that doesn't really know what they're doing into knowing, and a person that through they might be discouraged, and yet we can move them into a place in their life where they get recognition, and that can make such a huge difference in their life.
I love it. I love it. And this is going to lead us into our wrap-up. Such a good call. So many notes and so many great examples. Now, what do you think? I think we've covered all the most common objections, but what do you think are the three most common objections that we have to overcome with the follow-up? Or would you say, I don't know, you guys know more than I know. What do you think are the three that come to your head quickly?
Oh, I think Scott was just saying time, money, and, you know, I'll have to run it by my spouse, which is usually an excuse, but it can be a real, but time, I don't have time, but yet,
right.
So you have to kind of to go through that with them, you know, and usually the TV is a huge barrier there, and when they turn that off, they actually find quite a bit of time, and it's just a difference in the person who, you know, makes a profit or those who go to work to make a wage. The people who become wealthy actually give up something somewhere, and it isn't just, you know, when it's convenient. They have to be committed to it. So I found early on in my business, in growing my business, that those things were not an option. I wasn't even interested because I became so excited about how life was going to turn out if I gave those things up that it was just not even in my life, you know. So I'm not saying that everybody has to do it like 100%, but if they're, you know, spending 5 hours a day on the TV and they don't have time to build a business and change their life, and, you know, they probably really don't realize what they could have. So,
and what about money?
Them.
Is money another one of those top three?
Absolutely. And again, with the money thing, I used the feel, felt, found, because I needed the money. I mean, not because I was poor and didn't make money in my own business, but because we had not been money managers. We were lousy at that. Sometimes it's from where you grow up or, you know, who you learn from, and you're not educated on it. And I think really one of the things that I did, and I think a lot of women can fall into this trap, is when they're frustrated, they get into shopping. And shopping can be even addictive. When you don't have the money, I remember that's when I enjoyed shopping the most. Now that I have money, I don't even like shopping. I wish somebody would go do it, buy the clothes, and put them in my closet. I don't want to. But it's a time waster. If you can stop and look at what you're addicted to in your life that is not paying you and not building a business, you might find the time to build a business. So, again, just use the feel, felt, found, because I use that because it's absolutely true. I know where they've been, and I want them to get that it's so worth giving up something in your life. Not taking care of your kids, or I'm not saying anything like that, but you can make your time productive. Like you're rolling university in the car on your commute. Make sure you do not necessarily the calling and definitely not texting, but you can pop a CD. You can listen to that CD by Jim Rohn over and over and over until it rolls off your tongue, and you get to build this business in the pockets of your life.
That's a good one. There's one that I love with money that I just started trying, and I've been working. I found this on YouTube, and it's the question was when somebody gives you the comment that they don't have the money to get started, and one of the things that you can say is you can, and you have to practice this, because you say, is it really that you don't have the money, or is it a polite way to say no?
And then they'll say, well, you know, well, no, I really do want to do this. Well, then, and then you can say, well, do you really, really want to do this? I mean, are you really sure you want to do this? Or are you just think you might want to do it? No, I think I'd really want to do it. And then you can have them explain why, you know, they would really want to do it. And they end up just telling you and selling you on why they need to do it. And I just think that people will find ways to pay for things that they value. And so it's mm-hmm. our job to articulate the value of what we have. And so people, if you have a busted tire and you've got to get to work the next day, you're going to find a way to get the tire fixed. And so, and you, I don't know if you have any money or not. It's one of those things. I think a lot of times it's just used as a crutch or an excuse. And I love the Joyce Meyer saying that excuses are really just lies that are stuffed with the reasons that an excuse is a reason stuffed with a lie that keeps us deceived. And so so people just, I think, like to deceive themselves.
Absolutely.
Well, it's easier than taking a risk sometimes, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Just that we have to kind of walk them into that. But, you know, being respectful of what they're really saying and trying to weigh out, are they making an excuse or are they just kind of processing? Some people process differently. But,
right.
But helping them to see that they really – that this is something they can do without leaving their day job. We're not encouraging people to leave their day job to start making a profit with a network marketing business. But it is something that they can do part-time working on their fortune while they're working full-time. They would work part-time on their fortune, full-time on their job. That's also a Jim Rohn saying. And so that eventually that would lead them into full-time on their fortune. And, it, you know, it isn't going to happen. Are they going to get their dreams with such little time and little money that they have? It's really a reason when we hear those are the very reasons that we want to be loving enough to really share with them what we really have in a way that they can hear us. And that takes skill, and that's part of the deal. That's why we get on the calls. That's why we listen to the CDs. That's why we go to the big events, because we want to hone our skills. This isn't something we were born with. And so we have to actually learn how to get better at it.
I think people are afraid, too. I think they're just afraid that, you know, they just need assurance on three main things. And this, I wrote these down earlier. They want to know, can they do this? You know, they don't really know if they can do it. They don't have the belief in the company. They don't have the belief or the personal development. They may not understand the compensation plan. They just need to know, you know, can I do this? And that's a question we always have to keep in mind, that they're asking themselves. Can I do this? Will it really work? Is this going to work for me? Does the compensation really pay it out? If I do this, will this work? And then the other one is, will you help me? And so if we can address those and tell people, look, you can do this. These are the things that I did, and these are the things that can create the results, and don't over – you know, don't give them the expectations that they can make $1 million in 6 months. It's just crazy. It's not that kind of business. And give them the tools. And then, will it really work? Just explain the compensation plan. Let them understand that. And then just let them know, look, you're going to quit before I quit. I'm here for you. And mm-hmm. and let your people know that you're going to lock arms with them and you're going to work with them. And so that's really important in dealing with objections as well.
I love that. If you think about your product line and also in business, I mean, we typically have people that have tried to get healthy or lose weight before, and it's a very defeating thing, can be very embarrassing. We don't want to fail at one more thing, and maybe we've bought into businesses before, and we've let ourselves down on those things before. So I think people just kind of dig their heels in, and that's why they throw up these objections, because they're really just kind of protecting themselves. You two have heard my story where when we had a business idea, I said, you know what, I don't know, because I cannot fail at one more thing. Same mindset when the doctor told me, after I had been married 11 years, the doctor told me, we think you're pregnant. And I said, I'm not even taking a test. I think this is a cruel joke. I'm not going to fail one more test. And I know that's an extreme reaction. Of course, I was pretty hormonal at the time. Turns out I was 9 weeks pregnant already. But I just said to him, I cannot take one more test. I can't fail again. I just can't. And And so I think Shauna's point of listening with grace and care and really hearing them and backing away when they need us to, or also really nurturing them when they need us to, and then being persistent. Because if you think about the way the mother and the father nurture in a relationship a little differently, it may be that, yes, you love and hold the baby bird close, but somebody's got to push the baby bird out of the nest too. So that'll be another call. Yeah, that'll be another call at another time. But let's wrap up tonight. Guys, this was just super good information. Really thrilled with the content here tonight. We've even covered the most common scripts. We talked about some scripts, and the fact is we kind of did those as we went along. Like, what would you say when you left the voicemail? What would you write on the note? What would you text them? And Shauna, let's close with that one script you have about the 10 minutes, because I think that's super powerful. And then we'll wrap it up for tonight, let you guys go make your action lists for the week. But, Shauna, how do you do that follow-up with them about the 10 minutes?
Well, I just think a simple thing to say is, when do you have 10 minutes that we could get together on the phone that you would be able to be in front of your computer and we could go over it and I'd like you to watch a video? Do you have 10 minutes? Can you give me a time? Would it be, you know, afternoon or morning better when they give you a date? Set a time. Don't send them to their computer at a, you know, don't just send them and then say, you know, and then plan on a non, you know, you want it to be an exact time when they can do it. Most people could find 10 minutes if they're really interested. So you write that down, you make the appointment, and then you ask them what it was that they liked the best about that. I learned that from Jay Bennett, and I love it because you can hear them going right to their computer while you're on the phone with them.
Mm-hmm. And I love the what did you like best about that, because you're not launching into your dreams or goals. You're listening to what they pulled out of it. I think that's really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having our conversation tonight. Sorry we couldn't get together with everybody, but someday we will meet everybody at Starbucks maybe.
Well, and this is the reason why company events are so important, is so that you guys can connect in person. Guys, we will see you next week, same time, same login, and Scott and Shauna will be bringing you another topic next week. Everybody have an amazing week. Bye-bye, Scott and Shauna.
Thanks, Carrie. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming in.